and all Radio Aryan listeners, a happy Christmas and a diversity-free New Year.
You're listening to the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm joined today by Mr. Tony Hovater. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you, Matt?
Well, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to be in Mad Magazine. I always thought that was super cool. I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle of you made it, right? And I found out it looks like I did make it into to Mad Magazine, so now I get to retire from nationalism and go raise goats somewhere.
Yeah, this was all just a big joke. This is just to get mad. And you know what? We did it. So take that, Zog.
I'm just really happy about the thing done. Like, apparently Tom Richmond, the guy that that did this this painting in classic Mad style, you know, you've got me, you've got El Reeve, who looks the worst out of anybody. You've got Cantwell, Asmodor. You've got a lot of different characters. And apparently he's mad. He's like, no, I'm mocking you. It's like, no, Chief, you can mock us all you want. We deal with that all day, but you can't take it away. You might be trying to blast us. But we're just gonna roll with it. That's the meme culture, right?
Yeah. I think this is going to be your new Steam icon. Use this picture on Gab.
I think I might just have to do it. It's hard to tell if my constant God wills it up pointed finger, if that's what I'm doing, or if that's my poking finger. I'm not exactly sure which way he meant it. I'll have to message Mr. Richmond and clarify.
Yeah, please do, because this is actually troubling me.
Inquiring minds want to know. But yes. Speaking of inquiring minds, you have not been on in a while because you've been dealing with so much fun stuff and so much party stuff. I mean, like, really just absolutely kicking butt, taking names. I just want to kind of let the listeners get an update on what's going on with you, because you kind of had you're being invoked by journalists left and right constantly, complaining about the New York Times, invoking you as like, this is the epitome of a normal Nazi. We can't have this. Look at this. And, you know, and getting condemned by the guy that created Twin Peaks. You've had a lot of exciting things. So let's give the listeners just a little bit of an update about what's been going on in your life. It's been a little exciting.
Yeah, so apparently people actually do read the New York Times, which was news to me. But yeah, no, every single blue check mark.
Literally everyone was surprised.
Yeah, right. No, the failing New York Times. No, everybody that had a blue check mark, you know, had something to say about my article there. Let's see. Andy Richter was a good one. Cher even, you know, came out of the crypt to say something negative about me, which was very funny. Yeah, like you're saying, the co-creator of Twin Peaks, he told me to lose my tats. So I asked him, you know, pay for it and I'll do it. But, you know, nothing about that. But yeah, so, you know, after that, we had the fundraiser that was started for us. We raised a pretty good amount and I'm really happy, you know, about that. So thank you to literally anybody listening. If you donated, that really means the world to me and Maria. We did get canned from our jobs, but that's fine. If businesses want to be cowards, you know, that's what they're going to do. Whatever. We moved out. We've been doing a bunch of movement stuff. So yeah, it's actually been kind of a extremely busy last month, but it actually came out like almost a month ago today, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really was kind of a wild ride, because anyone who has met you or Maria personally, of course, for those of you who don't know, Tony has recently been married to an absolutely wonderful woman who's good friends with my wife. Just like literally the sweetest people, right? And it comes through in the New York Times article, just like how friendly you are, how approachable you are, how like both of you are really nice, like how you have cats and, you know, you like pop culture, like you're normal, right? I mean, like, The biggest thing that they were so mad about is that, like, because they try and create all this psychoanalysis. They do it constantly about, like, oh, well, you know, maybe he's a Nazi. Maybe he's angry because, like, he can't get a girl. And it's like, oh no, like I'm happily married. Like, okay, well, it's not that. Maybe he like lives, you know, in a total dump and he's mad about like, obviously you're working class, but you and Maria keep a very nice house and everything like that. Like, you've got friends, right? You've got like normal community. And, you know, so all the sorts of things, I think what really just hyper triggered them is all of the tropes that they trot out to try and justify that, other than, you know, the reality that, oh, I just kind of want our people to survive. I want our children to be able to have a future. I want our culture to be able to continue. Pretty basic stuff, I would like to think. All the tropes they put out to try and psychoanalyze you didn't work because, like, you're just a normal dude. And that's, like, basically our membership. That's, you know, a lot of, you know, the alt-right. That's nationalists around the world of every color, of just, like, normal people that want to preserve their way of life, their heritage, and pass it on to their descendants. It's not really complicated. It's common sense stuff. But they were so mad that, like, you let this guy into your home. You spent days and days and days with him, hours, hours, hours of conversation. And, like, he's lamenting in his follow-up piece, like, I tried to find out what was wrong with him, but he was just so normal. And I just enjoyed the entire thing.
Yeah, no, when I was on when I did the Daily Show, we were speculating, you know, because apparently the reason Enoch is the way he is it's he had allergies as a child, you know. Now, I, too, have taken an Allegra in my day. So maybe actually, you know, allergies or asthma is the final red pill. That's what drives us all this way. They also speculated
that pushes people to nationalism.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Pfizer is responsible for all of this. No, they also speculated maybe the reporter could have brought a tape measure, because typically penis size is a big thing in this. We all have micro penis dysphoria. Yeah, we're all losers. We're all poor. Whatever they got to say. So yeah, no, they're mad that I'm a normal human being.
Yeah. Well, wait, did he not bring his tape measure? Is that
no?
I mean, is this a beat, you know, reporter? This is his first story. He didn't bring his tape measure.
What a rookie. How many times is it for you? How many times have you been measured now? Yeah. They verify at the beginning of every interview.
Well, I mean, it is interesting to me because, you know, it really is, you know, the concept of the big lie, right? You know, you say, you know, a lie, you know, loud enough and big enough, which, of course, the Jews did about the Treaty of Versailles and stuff, which is how that term is actually utilized. It's not in reference to the National Socialists being like, hey, we're lying, because they told the truth. But anyway, like this idea that they actually, like, they're the crazy ones. Like, these, like, leftists and these blue check marks on Twitter literally, like, sit down and they're like, yes, I am so happy this 9-year-old boy is getting hormones to make him a girl. Like, he's not old enough to go see the film Independence Day because it's PG-13, but he definitely can make decisions that's going to affect his brain, his development, and his biology for the rest of his life, because that's legitimate. Like, hey, we know what all these rape statistics are in Sweden, but we still need open borders. Like, these people are actually crazy, but they accuse us for wanting to do exactly what every single group of human beings has done from the beginning of time, which is have a tribe, preserve that tribe, and advance your culture and your biology to future generations. This is just what normal human beings do until we go into clown world that we currently inhabit, this Lovecraftian hellscape of the modern West post-World War II. But they're actually the crazy ones. Like, by even, like, the DSM of, like, four decades ago on, like, homosexuality. Like, I mean, if you went and asked someone in, like, 1850, like, I don't care what country, they'd be like, hey, like, what do you think about murdering 3,000 babies a day? They would, like, think you were, like, literally crazy, because you are, because that's not what normal people do. But this is the modern liberal left, right? This is what they actually promote. They're actually crazy people.
And what's really funny, too, like, of course, a lot of this did start after World War II, but it's extremely recent. I remember as a kid, the whole, like, what was his name? Alien Gonzalez or whatever. The Cuban kid that was here illegally or whatever. Democrats were, like, applauding on the House floor that the feds sent, like, a SWAT team in to raid him and, like, get that kid out of here. You know, fast forward, what has it been? Almost 30 years now.
Take his coat.
You know. Yeah, exactly. The Democrats were taking his coat, you know, and now we're to the point where even to say, like, maybe they shouldn't get free health care. Like, that's literally Hitler. So, I don't know. The way things have, like, been ratcheting up each cycle is just, like, stupendous. And it can't go on forever, and it absolutely won't. Eventually, we're going to hit the wall on some of this stuff. People are—they're going to be surprised, like, "Oh, I didn't realize you could run out of money." So it'll be fun.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Bill Clinton is like a fascist, right? Like, if you actually like look at his policies, like, no, like gays can serve in the military, but you can't be openly gay. Like, they would literally say, if we said that same thing, the same thing Clinton said 20 years ago, like, we're fascists. Yeah. His immigration rhetoric was, like, as strong as, like, Trump's campaign rhetoric when he was president. And, like, this is, like, a progressive hero. Like, thank you, Bill. They absolutely have no understanding of, like, basic history. But, you know, I mean, the sort of thing you go back, like, immigration is just, I think, the best example. If you go back to the early 20th century, like, Samuel Gompers, a Jewish labor organizer, testified in front of Congress and was like, hey guys, we can't have unlimited labor from the entire planet because that's really gonna hurt American workers and drive down wages, make it impossible for workers to organize. And it's really just gonna like also just rape the country and destroy it. And like this like Jewish socialist like labor organizer, if he were to say these same things today, they'd be like, you must be a member of Trad Worker.
Sad. Trad Worker Exposed is a 1920s Jewish communist now.
Definitely exposed. Well, you know, and the sort of thing that, like, the left doesn't actually care about people, right? They don't actually care about the things that they say they care about, and that's evident through their policies. Because, you know, example, there's this professor from Oxford, which is not, like, a far-right university, gave a speech recently in Copenhagen, and he said, and I'll quote it exactly, "We spend $135 for every person who shows up here," talking about Europe, "compared to $1 for every person that we help in their own region. Those staying home are often much weaker than the ones who have the resources to get to Europe. Almost everyone coming to Europe from these countries where they were already safe. The idea that this group has an enormous need for help is simply irresponsible and a result of intellectual laziness." So, like, great example, right? Like, I actually want, like, everyone in their own countries, whether they're sub-Saharan Africans, whether they're Asians, whether they're obviously, you know, Europeans, my people, I actually want everyone to have, like, their own country, and I want them to be okay. Like, the idea of, like, human suffering for any ethnic group is, like, a really miserable thing, and I think we should have a world that's built on peace and justice, and where people, regardless of who you are, you can raise your children so they can have your culture, they can have their biological inheritance, and they can be safe, right? I don't like war. I don't like disruption. But this idea, like, if you actually want to help people, right? Like, so the refugees, whether it's Syria or economic refugees, environmental refugees from sub-Saharan Africa, if you actually want to help these people, the information is very clear. We do not bring them into Europe. We keep them where they are. And we can actually invest in things like infrastructure. You know, obviously, we need to put our people first. But if we're going to be spending this money regardless, we should be investing in education, informing people about things like birth control to be able to handle the population growth that's absolutely going bonkers. That's going to be unsustainable, right? If we don't want a famine that's going to kill like 500 million Africans within the century, we should probably like start managing population in a holistic, organic way within that community. But these people don't, these leftists, these Jews don't care. They literally don't care about the Somali refugee. They don't care about these people, their families, their communities. They're trying to destroy Europe. They're trying to destroy our countries, but they don't care about the human cost on either side of the color line because they're just bad people. Like, they're just evil. I mean, I don't want to like dismiss it so much to like, oh, they're just horrible. But like, no, they actually don't care about any of the target groups they supposedly care about.
Yeah, no, they're either extremely stupid and shouldn't be in charge of anything, or they literally are purposefully doing this. Like, it's got to be one of those, you know, and I don't really like either. So, yeah, maybe we should, you know, figure something out.
Yeah, these people cannot be driving the car, right? It's like we're going on a road trip and they're driving in the median. They're going on the wrong way. They're shooting guns out the window and throwing whiskey bottles at state trooper cars. Like, these people are obviously just not the ones that should be driving Western civilization. These are not competent individuals, or they are so competent just in doing evil. That's like the one thing they excel at. And it really does sort of drive me crazy that our policies as nationalists, and specifically as national socialists, clearly are better, like just objectively better, not only for our people in building healthy families, healthy communities, but they also will benefit like Africans or Latin Americans. Like, let's stop the war on drugs that's, you know, forced these cartels in Mexico to kill tens of thousands of people. And of course, with the illegal drug trade, they're making billions of dollars funneling it into the United States and around the world. Let's start, you know, stop guarding these poppy fields in Afghanistan. Like, let's just stop all these like evil policies and actually try to help these people. Like, it's not that radical of an idea.
No, and the thing is we're not just guarding the poppy fields, and we're not just, you know, making drugs a very profitable industry. We're also sending guns to both parties as well to keep things going. So our government is pretty evil, and the people in charge just absolutely, I don't even know. At some point they got to go to jail or just like move away. They got to go.
Take their coats.
please do.
Well, you know, so it's interesting, you know, speaking of like how evil basically our government is, you know, which like is not a surprise, right? If you're listening to this podcast, like, you know, but Pat Buchanan yesterday actually wrote an article on WorldNet Daily, which is definitely not my favorite publication, but I love reading Buchanan. And it's titled, "Did the FBI Conspire to Stop Trump?" And he follows up saying, "One need not be a conspiracy nut to conclude the fix was in." And it really just starts to break down whether it's the nonsense of the Trump-Putin conspiracy and everything. I mean, it's coming out now, these text messages of these FBI agents that are explicitly anti-Trump, money changing hands between, you know, people that are involved in the Clinton campaign who are married to FBI agents and stuff like this. This sort of suspicious behavior, like when former Attorney General Loretta Lynch gave her a meeting with Bill Clinton, supposedly discussing, you know, golf and grandkids, but, you know, probably not, right? Because there was an investigation going on. I mean, it seems very clear to me that the, you know, the FBI, it really did like try and undermine a presidential candidate and then an actual president. I mean, the deep state really is working, and the evidence is out there now that they're trying to undermine, like, they talk about like democracy, like, we love democracy. Well, okay, well, you know, Trump got chosen. I've got plenty of critiques about Donald Trump that could go on all day. But the fact is, like, they're trying to literally undermine American democracy as they're crying out about American democracy. And the Russians, they bought ads on Facebook and that hacked our election. But they're literally undermining the president and the democratic choice of the American people with this conspiracy against Donald Trump coming from the top levels on down of the FBI. I mean, this is some scary stuff when you really think about it.
Yeah, no, that's why I get really, really triggered when I see, like, even like, you know, normal MAGAPED tier, you know, conservatives talking about all these institutions and stuff. Clearly, like, every single institution of the entire system are like so subverted and corrupted now. What are we even fighting over anymore? Like, if literally the FBI, if the CIA, if Homeland Security, if everything is basically political now, like, why are we even? I don't know. I just don't know what they think we're going to do. Even with Donald Trump as president, even if he was literally our guy, there's so many layers of bureaucracy and so many issues. Just it's so deep. Like, nothing can even be fixed anymore.
Well, you know, one of the things that really, like, kind of boggles my mind, because obviously there's a political, you know, bent to it. There's obviously an agenda being pushed, but it also seems, and like all this information that's coming out, how petty it is. Like, you think about like the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, all these things, like it almost seems like these, you know, different individuals have like their fiefdoms of departments or parts of departments. And they just seem like petty high schoolers. Like, well, I'm going to get one over on, you know, so-and-so, or I don't like him. So I might have sworn an oath. But forget that. I'm going to stick it to, you know, someone I don't like. That it actually terrifies me more. Like, if they were just like serious, stone-faced and evil all the time, well, that's one thing. But like, it actually seems like our government institutions are actually just like really petty. Like, there's got to be a point where like in Sweden, you've got all these, you know, like leftist, you know, members of parliament and stuff that like know that their like constituents are like getting raped and killed, and there's like bombings and horrible stuff going on. But like, you know, I can't admit I was wrong. Like, if I admit I was wrong, then, like, the Nazis win, and I can't do that, so we're just gonna keep doing this. And, like, that just is really, really petty.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. That's why, like, I try not to, you know, the term, you know, monomaniacal comes up all the time. You know, obviously there are certain groups, i.e. Jews, that, you know, work for their own interests. But, yeah, no, like, petty human nature, like, comes into this quite a bit. And I don't even know what you can do about that. And that's very, very troubling, because if somebody – if you're willing to basically destroy your country through immigration because you just don't want to side with the guy that gave you a dirty look a few weeks ago in parliament, that's pretty bad. Like, we're doomed. You know, like, we don't want a black pill, but good Lord, what do we do about that?
Well, like you said, like, what can you do when these institutions are so corrupt? I mean, you know, there's a reason, like, going back to, like, the ancient Greeks and stuff, like, they would discuss that those that, like, had power – would have to swear, like, oaths of poverty and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that's, you know, not to orthopost too much. But, you know, like, Orthodox priests, like, I really like that, like, priests and monks have, like, a vow of poverty. And, like, that's a good thing. And that, you know, not that there isn't corruption, because any human institution will have corruption, but, like, you compare, like, Protestant American megachurches to, like, Orthodoxy or, like, traditional Catholicism, or, you know, like, I know comrades that are, like, behind the wall, essentially, like, who are, you know, remaining, like, Lutherans and stuff like that in Europe, that, like, take it seriously, and they put things in, you know, into these institutions, for the benefit of the people and the benefit of the longevity of the institution, to keep them more honest. And that we don't have that in the West. Like, there's literally, like, if you're a member of Congress, like, instantly you're going to get groomed by, like, some choice lobbyist, and you know you're going to get a multi-million-dollar deal if you vote the right way, a job afterwards, you can write a book, it's going to be great. That there's just so much money, and there's so much self-serving, and you have to be some degree of a sociopath, I think, to be a Western politician these days, because you're not helping the people at all. You're literally just helping yourself and the entire institution. You know, I mean, I've heard, you know, read things from members of Congress that say, like, the second you get in, like, you learn how to, like, call constituents and big donors, and that's all you do. Like, yeah, you vote on some bills, but everything's about raising money for the Republicans or the Democrats, raising money for your reelection, and all these moneyed interests just control everything. Like, these institutions cannot be fixed, because there is no brakes on the corruption and ability for lawmakers and these members of institutions to be held accountable.
And no, a modern day politician is essentially like the evangelical dude selling you know, some sort of prayer rag that he prayed over. You know, politicians, like, try to trick grandma out of money just like those people. So it's not very good.
what about the blessed water? Is that legit?
That was legit. Don't worry about that one.
And we have to all the late night neocon boomer style ads. We also have to buy a Holocaust survivor dinner, because they're you know, the millions of dollars we send them a day to Israel, that just isn't enough for Shlomo.
They're starving in the streets of Tel Aviv. We've got to do something about them. There, for some reason, there's more and more of them, and they're all hungry.
Well, as we look, and they're two steps away from, like, rocket cars that, like, the American taxpayer paid for. No, it's horrible. I mean, and there's a lot to say about the institutions of the West being so corrupt. And this is, you know, like, as Cornelio Cadrianu said, you know, the Jews thrive like mosquitoes in the swamp of our sins. You know, a country has the Jews it deserves. You know, and it's not to take blame off of them for what they're doing. Of course, we have to rightly bring up what they're doing. But at the same time, like, we allowed ourselves to get so lazy and so corrupt and so self-serving as the West in general. I think post-World War I and then post-World War II, you know, that we literally have just created this, like, festering swamp that all these mosquitoes can grow up in. So at the end of the day, you know, I've said this before, it's, you know, the Jew puts the gun to our head, but we're the ones that cock the hammer and pull the trigger through our own actions. Like, we're the ones that kill 3,000 babies a day. We're the ones that, you know, say, oh, well, you know, as long as Muslim migrants aren't cutting my head off, I don't care. Like, that sort of self-serving thing that's why, you know, spiritual revival and nationalist revival amongst our people comes from us just breaking free from these institutions and saying, like, we are not going to think as an individual. We're going to work as a collective. We're part of a team and have a different, you know, plan for the future, because the current trajectory of the West is not a good one. I mean, I don't think I'm going to, like, blow anyone away by saying that, but it's not a good one.
No, and I don't know how much longer we have, just fiscally, foreign policy-wise, domestically. I don't know. I think within our lifetimes, we're going to see some really bad times, once again, to black pill. But no, like even if you want to raise like some of these issues, like the article you sent me here about Lorde, the stupid singer, people are extremely mad at her because she's like not doing a concert in Israel. What's that about? Even Roseanne Barr is mad about it.
And you can't win, right? Because, like, on one side, it's like, yeah, the Israelis are committing genocide against Palestinians. Like, stand with human rights. All right, boycott Israel. Cool. But then, like, on the other side, it's like, well, it's literally another Shoah if you don't sing Royals in Tel Aviv. Like, it's you can't win.
No, our Congress is making sure, like, we can't even, like, personally boycott Israel. If you're a business that wants to, you know, not buy products from there, that's actually a crime now? What's that about?
Freedom is it's just a word they use for regime changes at this point. Like, we don't have it. I mean, bake the cake, right? I mean, this is the sort of thing that we have to deal with. Democrats and Republicans, they love it. Just like Democrats and Republicans passed the resolution condemning not just like white supremacy. Like, okay, like I'm not a supremacist. I believe in nationalism for all peoples. Cool. But like, no, like white nationalism, like how dare you white people organize for your own best interests so your culture will survive? Like literally every member of the House and Senate on both sides of the aisle condemned that this year. Let's not forget that. So they literally think that like, yeah, we literally do not have the freedom to have our own communities. We do not have the freedom to even advocate for these things, without them thinking that we're like an enemy of the Republic, which was my favorite thing that was referenced about you after your article. One of the follow-up pieces literally said, like, people like Tony Hovater are a threat to the Republic. And it's like, hopefully.
yeah. No, that sounds right. You have to bake the cake. You have to buy the bagel. But me wanting to, you know, just choose where I live. Yeah, that's going to bring down the whole system. You're right. Sounds right.
Well, I mean, it probably doesn't help, man. I'm talking about the Republic, that whenever you enter a room, just from out of nowhere, a speaker starts blaring the Imperial March, you know, dun, 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 whenever Tony comes in the room. It's pretty cool, actually. I don't know how you do it, but it's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm not going to reveal my trade secrets either, but, you know, my eyebrows have something to do with that, so that's a secret.
Tony, are you a Sith Lord?
No, I'm one of the good guys, but apparently the new Star Wars is bad, but I'm not going to get into that. I haven't even seen it. Whatever.
I haven't seen it either, but I'm really happy. Like, dude, okay, so sidebar, comrades. The fact that Mark Hamill has just been written into, like, this movie of, like, no, I hate it. This is horrible. He literally said, like, please don't think you're going in to see a movie. It's going to bring back your childhood nostalgia. It's not going to do that. Please be an adult. Like, he literally said that. It's awesome. Like, can you imagine just being fanboyed over for, like, you know, 40 years and just seeing these perpetual man children just get so excited and just want to reclaim part of, like, when mom and dad were together and I had Boba Fett, you know, when I was 9 years old for Christmas. Never going to happen, guys. The Jews on Star Wars and everything is gay. But now it's, like, running $120 million behind on ticket sales from the previous Star Wars, which is great because that one sucked. But yeah, all these institutions are falling apart. They can't even make, like, one of the most popular franchises in Western history. They can't even, like, really make it profitable anymore in a lot of ways. Because, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars of budget, the advertising, the campaigns and stuff like that, you know, probably make some money. But, like, the next one's probably going to, you know, maybe break even. And then they can't even keep this stuff going. How are they going to keep a global empire going if they can't even keep the Star Wars franchise going?
No, and Mark had better be careful. Disney's got some goons. He's going to get taken out for that. You know, that's it. He's going to mysteriously like kill South himself. Park. Two gunshots. Yeah, to the back of the head.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse is just going to hit a crowbar upside his head.
Yeah.
But sidebar. So exciting thing, by the way, comrades. So the Daily Traditionalist is going to keep rolling as it has with me. You're stuck with me. But Mr. Hovater, let's mention as our last part of the day, the exciting new project that you and I are going to be working on. If you want more HH, you know, 8-8, which stands for Heimbach Hovater, right? Doesn't mean anything else. Tell the listeners about our new project.
Well, first of all, I'm really sad that I didn't think of that because now we've missed out on a branding opportunity with the 8-8. Anyway, no, we got asked to do a podcast for TRS. It's going to be called Action. We're probably going to do it a few times a week, a little bit longer format, maybe an hour or two. So pointless things like this, us complaining about Star Wars, will probably get in there. But no, it should be a really good time.
Well, and that's the biggest thing, right, is there is such a need. And that's why I love doing the Daily Traditionalist. I love being able to bring up the news of the day. And, you know, we have fun, but it's a lot of serious business. So I think this might be a little more trad worker after hours. Of course, like, you don't drink, smoke. I mean, you're totally straight edge. So I don't know if you have a chill button, Mr. Hovater, but it should be a lot of fun. So, you know, all of our listeners, you just get more of us, right? You asked for it. If you didn't want it, you shouldn't have asked for it.
Yeah, now it's happening. You could have stopped it and you didn't, so
deal with that. All your fault. Well, Tony, what's your final thought for the day to send our dear listeners off? It's Wednesday, so we're all slugging through the week. We had first Christmas. So what's the message, the lesson of the day for our dear listeners?
A few things. First of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everybody got to spend a nice time with their beautiful white families. That's what it's all about. Secondly, if anybody found some of the dank 8chan conspiracies about me being a Jewish CIA operative, can you please send them to me on Gab? I think they're hilarious and I love them. And thirdly, everybody please donate money to Chris Cantwell, to his legal defense fund, because he's going to go ham on these people, and that's exactly what we need.
Yep. Chris Cantwell, as I said on Gab last night, is a GD hero for everything that's happened. He could have cucked. But he doubled down. Like, and that's the mark of a real man, in my opinion. When you are in a bad situation, you're looking at serious time, persecution. You know, he was put in segregation where he was stuck by himself. What did he do? He doubled down. That's a man. That's a hero of our people. I mean, we're supporting our comrades. So it's amazing. Lots of exciting stuff. More content from 8-8. Heimbach Hovater, coming to you soon, our new podcast action. And thank you, my dear listeners, for being with me today. Thank you, Tony. And as always, my dear friends, hail victory.
You've been listening to The Daily Traditionalist.